Why not let us know what you're reading at the moment? Any great reading recommendations as well? What are you enjoying? We'd love to hear from you. It's always good to have some recommendations. Well, we're joined in the studio by Leslie Cully, who is founder of Buckle Up in the Back campaign, and she's an avid reader. And it's great because she joins us quite often on this segment to tell us about the books that she's been reading. The first one was The Life of Pi.
Yes.
Or Life
yes,
of Pi, I'm not sure how you say that.
Pi.
Yeah, yep. Which, again, was, you know, as you said, it's been out for quite some years now.
Ages,
but
yeah.
Just picked up. Did you ever, have you ever read his next one?
No,
the
I haven't.
One, Beatrice
no, I haven't.
And Virgil.
And quite often I give myself a break with some authors because I like to enjoy each book on its own merits. And sometimes, because I enjoyed Life of Pi, I don't want to ruin his next book, which I'm sure is completely different. So, you know, I'll give myself a couple of books and then I'll read it.
It's
new
quite
one.
Different. I actually really liked it. It's kind of bizarre, off the wall, as that one is.
Yeah.
And it's got animals in it as well. So.
Oh, there you go. There's a
few little connections. Yes. Well, Beatrice and Virgil is a donkey and a monkey.
That's it, yeah, Beatrice. Oh, really? Oh, okay.
I liked it. I enjoyed it, actually. Again, I know it didn't get quite the same reviews as his first book.
That's a shame for him, because Life of Pi won the Man Booker Prize. And, you know, they set themselves on such a pedestal. The publisher's just as guilty, I think. And then the poor author comes out with probably just as great a book. And then people think, oh, well, it's not Life of Pi, is it? And, you know, they struggle.
The comparisons, yeah.
Exactly.
And he did get a little bit of a sort of backlash on social media about the book as well.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I enjoyed it.
And that's all that counts.
Exactly.
counts.
And the other one, if you want to just give us a quick review,
was that was Dear Zari by Zarguna Karga, which is Hidden Stories from Women of Afghanistan, based on Afghan Women's Hour, which is really interesting.
Mm. And sorry, just on the side, it was quite interesting. We were just talking off air, weren't we, about how you listen, how you read. I mean, is it books, as in a physical copy? Is it on a Kindle or even audiobooks as well?
It's a combination for me. I mean, I like real books, especially when I've had them signed. A real book. But I do relish my Kindle because I can take that anywhere and dip in and out of it. Audiobooks I struggle with. And I was saying earlier to you, which is a bit worrying, I can drift off. When I'm in the car, I don't drift off when I'm driving, obviously. I'm paying attention to the road, and therefore I'm not always actually listening to the radio or whatever it might be. So if I was listening to a book, then I'd probably think, oh, I've missed that bit, and I'll have to rewind it constantly, and then it's a distraction. So
yeah.
I'm not so good with audiobooks. And then when I'm at home, the children want biscuits and they want
attention
and
or something.
Attention. So, you know, there's not a room I can sit in and lock the door and listen. So.
Yeah, it's because I sort of feel that you can't, if it's an audiobook, you've got to really listen. In which case, you can't do anything else.
No, you can't. And that's what I think about it. And there's plenty that would disagree. But it also depends on who's reading it. I mean, as far as I know, Stephen Fry did the Harry Potter series.
Apparently that was great.
I imagine that would be brilliant to listen to. Fantastic. But if you get someone who's really dry or monotonous or not really interesting to listen to, you lose the plot, don't you?
Yeah. We've had a couple of messages come through from our listeners as well. We've been asking you, what are you reading at the moment? And one of our listeners says, currently reading Maeve Binchy, their first time, entitled Scarlet Feather. Excellent. Light reading.
Yeah, she died recently.
She did,
sadly.
I know. Yeah. My mum was a big fan of her. I've got all of that. That's from Eileen. She's written tons of books, hasn't she?
Loads. And again, I think underrated. You know, Maeve Binchy was one that people think, oh, she's so prolific, she must be boring, she must be that middle woman type, and it's so not true. You know, she's popular, great writer, great storyteller, reader. There's nothing wrong with Maeve Binchy. You know, great, Eileen, thanks for that.
Good for you. Well, Scarlet Feather, that's the one that she's reading. And then another listener says, Life of Pi will be released as a movie. Yes, we spoke about that earlier.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's right. Spielberg is producing a bit and Ang Lee is the director. That's right.
Yes.
Really looking forward to that coming out.
I am. Yeah, I really am. Ang Lee is terrific, I think. Really, really good.
Mm. So what else? You've got another book there for us as well.
Well, linked, funnily enough, and I didn't mean to do this, but I have linked it with Women's Hour, funnily enough. So the Dear Zari was Afghan Women's Hour. And then I was listening to a podcast of the BBC British Women's Hour, and they were interviewing a lady called Margaret Humphreys, and in the interview she mentioned she'd written a book. Now, her book is called Empty Cradles, Brackets, Oranges and Sunshine, because there's also a film being produced of it. The book is another true story, and it tells the story of thousands and thousands of British women, British children who were sent to live abroad after the war by the British government.
Right.
And predominantly, well, not predominantly actually, but she focused on Australia.
Australia.
You've heard of this.
So what was it, The Lost Children?
It's called Empty Cradles, and the Migrant Child's Trust is the charity she set up. Up to 150,000 children, some as young as three. And
shocking.
They
really there's a big
shocking.
Revelation about
big
all
revelation.
Of that, because a lot of them didn't even know. They weren't even told.
Not even
And they
told.
Were never sent back.
These, a lot of these children were in children's homes.
Yeah.
Now, not because they were parentless. A lot of them, at the time, you've got to imagine it's after the war, their parents couldn't cope, some of them, or didn't have money, or asked the home to look after their children for a short while. Now, the British government then sent these children abroad, told the children they were orphans, that their parents had been killed, and they didn't tell the parents their children had gone. So when their parents went to look for the children or try to claim them back, for want of a better word, they'd gone. The children weren't looking for their parents because they thought they were dead anyway, until this Margaret Humphreys was investigating one particular story, and it just exploded, basically. And and now the rush is on to find the parents of these children before they sadly die, because they're getting on in their age and dotage. And it's just a horrific story, and you just think nothing like that could ever happen. And this happened in Britain right up until as recently as 1970, and it's just horrific that this could have happened. And I found it fascinating, I have to say. Another you know, gruelling story, but very, very gripping.
Does she talk about particular cases? I mean,
yes, she does. Yes, she does. She does follow certain people. She doesn't mention everyone's names, but she does, you know, speak to these people. And again, some stories have happy endings and reunions with families and parents and lost children, and some don't. And it's just fascinating that this could have happened at all.
Well, because of course it did happen during the war. I know friends' grandparents, you know, they were sent to live down south in the country.
Yes, yes.
Because it was safer, you know.
That's
there was
right.
less likelihood of bombings, and
yes.
they were sort of looked after by friends, families, or even volunteer families that would actually
That's
look
right.
after them. But they did generally, a lot of them, go back then after the war.
And everyone knew about it.
Yeah.
The parents were doing it too in enhance the safety of their children.
Exactly.
I mean, they were in on it. This is completely different, and it's just horrific, really.
Gosh.
So I know, so not very happy reading today, Siobhan, sorry.
It's all right.
I'm hoping my next books will be happier. So this is the thing, I go through stages of reading true stories or completely off the wall, and Life of Pi was my recent off the wall, but before that these two gripping real stories, and you just need something different to counterbalance that sometimes.
What are you reading at the moment?
I'm just starting Casual Vacancy.
Oh,
J.K.
are you?
Rowling.
Oh, good for you. I've just started that as well.
Yes. So I'm reading that. I think I'm like you. I've only read a very few pages. I really need to sit down and start it properly. But I'm also reading at the same time on my Kindle a book by Miranda Hart, who's a British comedian. Here's something more upbeat. And she's started a Twitter hashtag saying, "It's not just me," which are full of the sort of things we do every day. It's not just me, is it? And people have responded, and it's just full of tweets that people have written back. What an example. It's just really made me laugh, where "Is it just me that ran for the train desperately before the doors opened, tripped but got into the train, and then the doors didn't actually close for ages?" So you know, it's just that burning embarrassment when you've run all that way and everyone's looking at you and you trip over into the train. It's full of ones like that, you know, finding you've got a hairbrush stuck to your hair all day, or that sort of thing. And it's just snippets that I can dip in and out, you know.
That sounds really funny.
Really very funny. Really very funny.
So, I'm sure that's happened to us all.
Yeah.
Tripped up as running for the bus. Or,
absolutely.
Oh, I've done that.
Oh, got some terrible ones.
Love that. A couple more messages. The Book Thief.
Oh, love.
Oh, really?
Marcus
Zusak,
yes,
I think.
Yes, thank you. Fantastic.
Yeah.
One of my... I love that book,
okay.
Yes.
They say a great read, fascinating characters, and a wonderful viewpoint of World War II.
Definitely.
Great.
Yes, highly recommend.
And another one says, Mohammed says, "Hi, guys, thanks for the show. I'm currently reading Immortality by Milan Kundera for the second time."
Ooh.
That's quite... I think I've... Yeah, I read that a while ago. I used to like him. It's quite heavy.
Okay.
Quite tricky.
Oh, I'm all right. It's up for a heavy book. I'll write that down. Thanks,
yeah,
Mohammed.
Immortality, Milan Kundera. There you go. Well, thank you so much, as always. It's always great to have you on the show and to give your great reading recommendations for us. Leslie, thank you so much. And good luck with a casual vacancy. Are you liking it so far?
Yes, I am. Yeah, yes, me too. I am. Yeah, it's completely different from Harry Potter, which is what we needed. But it's good.
Yeah, it's got a grip me so far. Yes. I'm quite intrigued.
Yeah, she's a good storyteller. I've got to give it to her. Yeah.
Well, good luck with that. And we look forward to welcoming you back very, very soon with more books.
Thank you. Yes.
Leslie Cully there, the founder of Buckle Up in the Back campaign and our reader this week.